don't know how many of you watch series, TV series on TV, but one of the series that I really enjoy is NCIS. You familiar with it? It's a crime detection agency of the Navy. And basically what they do is where there is a murder or foul play suspected in the death of a naval officer or a Navy person, this NCIS team go off and investigate the incident. Now, in the team, there are a number of different people that make up this team. There's, of course, Doc, who sits in his mortuary and cuts up bodies and investigates them. There's Abby, who does all the analysis of the chemical and ballistics and all the other things in the laboratory. Then there's the investigators that go off and gather the information. There's the computer guys that can do all sorts of other fancy things with computers. And as the episode evolves and progresses, you'll find that the team gathers information, they start to analyze the evidence that they've got there, and they start to come to some conclusions. And normally about halfway through the movie or the series, they actually say, you are the guilty person, and they arrest somebody and bring them in for questioning. But as they do so, more evidence comes in and more analysis are done, and they soon realize that actually the person they initially arrested is not the murderer, it is somebody else. The bottom line of the whole show is that they have to be very careful and very precise as they try to come to the bottom of the murder or the foul play to find out who killed this person. Now, in a way, the Gospel of Luke is a little bit like an NCIS show. Not in the sense that we've got a murderer and we're now investigating the murder, but in the sense that it is a carefully investigated dossier that presents the truth. Luke tells us that many before him have written things down, but he wants to check it out, so that he can lay the evidence before his friend Theophilus. Now, we know very little about both Luke and about Theophilus. Theophilus, we know, is mentioned at the start of the book of Acts, and therefore suggests that Luke and Acts are actually a two-volume edition of one book. Theophilus was probably a Christian, but and needed some help in understanding the things that he had been taught. But of course, we don't know that. It's possible that Theophilus was also an important official, perhaps a political figure or a governor. And perhaps the indication to that is he speaks about most excellent Theophilus. But again, we are not 100% sure. But whoever Theophilus was, he wanted to know more about Jesus and about the things that he had been taught. Luke, on the other hand, we know a little bit about, but not an awful lot more. We know that he was not an eyewitness. In fact, Luke tells us that himself, that he wasn't there when these things happened. We also know from, not from the Bible, but from historical documents, that Luke was a doctor. And it seems, and we actually pick that up as we work through the Gospel of Luke, that he is very concerned about precise details, especially in terms of medical conditions. And we'll pick up on some of those as and when we get to them. So Luke was a well-educated, possibly medical doctor who wrote this book, this Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that Luke, for a while, traveled with Paul. And we pick that up in the second part of Acts, where Paul, well, we know that Luke wrote Acts, and Luke had been speaking about them the whole way through Acts, until a certain point where he starts speaking about us and we. So it seems that Luke did travel with Paul for a certain point in time, but was himself not an eyewitness. So what Luke sets out to do, This is about 30, maybe 40 years after Jesus ascended into heaven. We're looking at perhaps around 60 AD, somewhere in that period. Luke sets out to investigate the evidence before him and write it down in a way that people can understand it. He wants to find out who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and how Jesus changed the world. And as he lays down that evidence, he writes two volumes, Luke, which speaks about who Jesus is and what Jesus did, and Acts, which speaks about how Jesus changed the world. And so Luke jots down these things. Now I want to just 2 points this morning as we have a look at these first four verses of Luke's gospel. Next week we're going to carry on and have a look at the birth of John the Baptist. So do read through that next section from verse 5 to verse 25, and we'll unpack that next week. But just 2 points this morning. My first point is that Luke goes about a careful investigation. Now, like most of us, we've heard the story of the Lord Jesus Christ time and time again. I think we're pretty familiar with it. And Luke is well aware that most people around his time are familiar with the story of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, he tells us here that many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things of Jesus. He knows he's not the only one to write this book, but he wants to be certain. He wants to investigate for himself what has really happened. Now, the Gospel of Luke has got a lot of theological content in it. In other words, a lot of content that we can learn about God, that we can learn about Jesus, that we can learn about life. But I believe that Luke was primarily written not as a theological book, but as a history document. A document that pinpointed and put down all the works of Jesus. And Luke went out not just to write a nice little story. Oh, I've heard the story. Let me write about it. No, Luke went out, perhaps like an NCIS investigator, went out and carefully investigated the events and happenings. Notice, firstly, that Luke does not take for granted what was handed down to him in verse 2. You see there that he consults with the eyewitnesses and the servants of the word. Paul was writing this gospel at a time about 30 or 40 years after the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, at a time when the eyewitnesses were probably quite well advanced in years. He might have had Mark's gospel in front of him as he worked through the evidence, but he also didn't take it for granted. He investigated carefully. Now, in a way, is that not different from a lot of us today? We hear stories all the time about a person who did this or that or the next thing. And when you talk to that particular person that these other people have been saying things about, you realize that, hang on, what you've been told was not the whole truth. In fact, it was an interpretation of what really happened, and not what the person was meaning at all. Yet we will believe the gossip that someone else tells us, even claiming that it is the truth. But Luke says, no, I'm not going to believe all these stories just like that. I want to go to the bottom of them. I want to carefully investigate what is going on here. And so Paul goes off and speaks to the eyewitnesses. No doubt he would have spoken to Paul. John was still around at this point, one of the apostles. He would have spoken to John. Perhaps the other apostles were around and he would have gone and looked them up. They didn't have nice ways of finding people today, like Googling them or things like that. So it would have probably been quite a long process that he went about. But he would have found the eyewitnesses. Perhaps he would bump into people who had been healed by Jesus, and he would talk to them. So you say Jesus healed me. Tell me about it. Did it really happen, or is it just a figment of your imagination, what other people are saying? And Luke would have carefully investigated these things. Notice also that not only was Luke's investigation careful, but that he also left no stone unturned. Look at verse 3. I myself have carefully investigated part of the information, just a little bit, the bit that I really was excited about. What does he say? I myself have carefully investigated everything. That means that he followed every lead. Sometimes in these crime detection series and stuff, you'll find that some guy follows some lead that actually leads to nowhere. But he's following the lead to make sure, to rule out any possibility that that could have been right. And now I think that's what Luke is doing here. He does not leave a stone unturned. He analyzes every piece of the evidence. And as I mentioned, he would have consulted the apostles. He would have consulted those that had been healed. He would have chatted perhaps to those who'd heard Jesus teaching them. Luke investigated everything. Yet again, as we've mentioned, we might begin to investigate something, but then when we've got that juicy snippet, what do? We stop investigating. We stop looking for the evidence. And perhaps like the NCIS show, when halfway through the show they think they've got their murderer, if those guys stopped then, the true murderer wouldn't have been apprehended and wouldn't have been brought to book. Luke investigates all the evidence. But thirdly, notice that not only does Luke carefully investigate everything, but he does so from the beginning. It wasn't as if he only was interested in portion of the message. He investigates it from the very beginning. And in fact, as Luke's gospel starts off, we realize that Luke started investigating the evidence from before Jesus was born. And so we are told of the visit by the angel to Mary. We are told of the birth of John the Baptist, who was prior to Jesus. We are told of the visit by the angel to Zechariah in foretelling the birth of John the Baptist, which we'll look at next week. Luke goes beyond the story to bring it into context and to find out all the evidence about him. So one of the things I think that we need to take note of as we start reading Luke together is that this is not some story that Luke has just made up. Oh, well, that's a great thing. Yeah, I must remember that. I'm going to slot that in over here. Quick edit, copy, paste, dunk, and stick it in. There we go. That's a nice juicy snippet. People will love that. It's not that Luke did that. Luke consulted other people. And in fact, I think if Luke was writing a heresy or just making up the story, do you think Luke would have admitted that he wasn't an eyewitness? Do you think Luke would have admitted that he needed to investigate the evidence? Or do you think he would have just gone, hey, here's a great story that we need to take note of, and started writing? No. Luke says, I have investigated everything carefully from the beginning. And I think that's a valid point that we need to take today as well. Christianity is not some touchy-feely sort of religion. Sort of leave your mind at the door as you walk in and then just get caught up with the whole feel of everything. Christianity is not about speculations. It's not about dreams. It's not about theories. But it's about clear historical facts of events that really took place. Yet I think if we're honest with ourselves, we actually end up doubting the Bible on many occasions. And we listen to what other people make up. The TV has more influence over our lives than the Bible. Yet the TV is filled with lots of speculations, lots of dreams, lots of airy-fairy ideas. But we'll believe those as opposed to great historical facts and evidence that is portrayed in the Bible. Fashion magazines, all those health magazines and what have more influence on us than the true historical word of God. Even other religions around the world are generally based on dreams and speculations. They take precedence over the Bible, over the truth of the Bible. And even historical things, we will believe the histories of Julius Caesar and say they are accurate and exactly what happened. But when we look back to the original sources, they date to almost 1,000 years after the man lived. And we'll believe them to be authentic. Yet we doubt what the Bible says that was written a mere 30 or 40 years after the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. Why do you think we believe all these other things? Well, is it not possibly because we fail to investigate the truth of the Bible for ourselves? We, as Paul put it, are still babies, and we need to be fed instead of feeding ourselves as we grow in God's Word and investigate the truths for ourselves. Our youth group at the moment has just started to investigate what Christianity is all about. We're asking the question, who is Jesus? Why should we follow him? What should we do when we follow him? We are investigating the evidence. We are having a look at it. Now, earlier this week, I gave a short talk at a memorial service, and I was chatting about God's promises to us to give us life even when we die. Now, how do I know that the God who is unseen will fulfill this promise? Well, it's by me looking back in the Bible and seeing the evidence that's there that when God has promised in the past, he has done what he promised. So I've looked at the evidence and I've said, well, God's past actions are like that, therefore I can believe his promise now, even though it hasn't been fulfilled in my life yet. I've looked at the evidence, I've weighed it up, and I've come to the conclusion that God will honor his promise to give me life even when I die. But don't take my word for it. Don't just believe what the guys on TV tell you on some Christian show. Go and investigate the truth for yourself. Now, many of us might have accepted the Lord Jesus and believe what he did for us on the cross, believing that we are sinful by nature and we can't get to God on our own. Well, that's great and that's wonderful. But then why do we doubt God in other areas of our lives? Why do we doubt him in our areas of money or of his care for us? Why do we listen to horoscopes but fail to listen to God's true historical word? But friends, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you've never really believed in the Lord Jesus. You've heard all about it. You know the whole story. But to you, it's just a fable, a bit of a tradition perhaps, something from a past generation. Well, friends, if that's you, then do yourself a favor. Before you throw it out, before you say, ach, this is just a fairy tale, go and investigate the truth for yourself. Look at those who have questioned the eyewitnesses. Look at those who were there and see what they have to say for it. Don't just take my word for it. Go home. If you haven't got a Bible, don't borrow a church Bible. But go and read the evidence for yourself before you throw it out. Now, not only has Luke carefully investigated what he's about to write, but notice secondly, he has done so so that we might know. Now, coming back to the NCIS show, imagine if they investigated all the information and the evidence out there, they gathered it all in, and then they said, and now? That would be rather silly, wouldn't it? You've got all the evidence there. You've got the evidence proving who the murderer is. And they say, well, we don't know what to do with all this stuff. Let's just throw it in a pile and leave it in the corner. What a total waste of time. Now, I know that many of you know the Gospels. And perhaps your initial thought when you heard that we were going to start looking through the Gospel of Luke was, oh, not again. Here we go again. I know the whole story. When are we going to talk about something that I don't know? But that is exactly the reason why Luke wants to write this book. Luke has given us a carefully investigated, orderly account of everything that happened from the beginning, so that, verse 4, we might know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke is writing this gospel so that we might really know why it is we believe what we believe. Perhaps Theophilus was a struggling young Christian who needed help. Perhaps he was a mature Christian, but was struggling to see that Jesus is the only way. Perhaps he wanted to be clear in his own mind as to what Jesus has done for him so that he could tell others about what Jesus has done for him. Whatever the reasoning was, Luke wants us to be certain in what we believe. He wants his readers not to base their faith on some superficial idea or some folklore, but on the unshakable historical truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke wants us to know the truth. And as one commentator suggested, that possible conversation that might have taken place between Luke and Theophilus, it might have started off with Luke saying, "Such knowledge might be yours." And Theophilus could have replied, "How? By some mystical experience? By a deep study of philosophy?" And Luke says, "No. By reading and meditating on the plain facts of the story of Jesus as set out here in my gospel, that is where you may come to know the basic certainties of life." So as we spend the next 10 to 12 weeks looking through the gospel as Luke, as we build up to Christmas, as we tackle some of these issues on Christmas itself, don't just shrug off this gospel as, yeah, more of the same old. But rather look at the evidence that we have in front of us. Gather it together, investigate it carefully, so that you might know with certainty what it is you have been taught. Well, let's thank God for his word, and let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we do just thank you for your word. We thank you for these great truths that Luke has gone to endless ends to gather for us. We thank you that Luke has not just taken people's word for it, but gone and sought out the evidence, investigated it for himself, and written down his findings. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to be like Luke, not just to take everybody's word for it, but to go out and investigate your truth, to analyze your word, to find out more about you. Not just so that we can have greater head knowledge, but so that we might know the certainty of what we believe. And so, Lord, we ask for your help now as we go from here, and as we get stuck into this portion of your word, we pray that you would help us to know with certainty what it is that we have been taught. In your name, amen.